Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Greetings, and welcome to podcast. Hi, I'm Matt. Last week, if you weren't here, I said podcast for no particular reason. Now I've decided to just lean with it. I just felt like doing it again. Welcome to podcast. Anyway, I'm Matt. With me this week is Joe. Joe's really cool. Hi, Joe.
Hi. Didn't think I was really cool, but thank you.
Yeah, you are. You're really cool. You're a good person. You should be happy.
And you are also a good person. You should be happy as well.
That's a lie. But anyway, we're going to be doing the thing where we talk about Blizzard and its many games, but this week it's probably going to mostly be about the one game, World of Warcraft. I've been in the Shadowlands Alpha. I was in the Shadowlands Alpha. Now I'm in the beta. Joe just got into the beta. So we're going to talk Shadowlands beta. We're going to talk about stuff we like, dislike, have experienced, think needs to be changed, anything that comes to mind.
Which probably carries with it a little bit of a spoiler warning, so just in case you're out there and don't want it spoiled, consider this your warning.
Yeah, we are going to talk about Shadowlands. That's just an event. You can't talk about a beta and not talk about what the beta test is testing. So, my thing that I'm going to talk about first is the Exile's Reach intro experience for Shadowlands. Exile's Reach is a new 1 to 10 leveling experience. It is essentially, I don't want to say faction agnostic, because he does have slight differences if you play as Horde versus Alliance, but it is, if you play a Night Elf or a human or a dwarf or an orc or a troll or a tauren, it's agnostic there. It's not like the old days when you started a character and you started in the starting zone of that character's of race. Now, if you are a new player, only if you are a new player, the first time you make a character, that character will be on the boat going to Exile's Reach, and you will go through a extended tutorial as you level from 1 to 10. And that tutorial will teach you how to play the game, how to use your class's abilities, how to, you know, what it's like to get gear as you get gear throughout it. By the time you leave Exile's Reach at around level 10, you'll have even run a mock dungeon. And the mock dungeon is set up to look and feel much more like a five-person dungeon than a scenario, even though it is essentially a scenario. But it is designed to teach you things about running dungeons, like the concept of tanking, the concept of healing, how this works, how to queue for them, because you need to use the queuing tool. The game is set up where you queue for that dungeon, and then you get put into it with an NPC party. It's very interesting. I am still not sure. I mean, at this point, it's executing pretty well. It is to the point where it needs polish. It needs more work, but it feels like it is set up. I'm not 100% sure. I don't know how often I'll use it. For one thing, it is extremely tutorial.
Yeah, it's very, very, very tutorial. Which is not a bad thing.
No, but if you've played the game before, if you've been playing the game for a long time, like some of us have, I've been playing the game...
literally half my life at this point.
Yeah, not quite that much for me, but just because I was older when I started. So yeah, it's pretty crazy how developed it is. And if you are a somewhat experienced player, you'll probably run it once or twice just to see the new thing, and then you'll probably be done, which is fine, because you don't need to play it more than once. Once you have leveled a character through it, you can then you can choose. When you roll a new character, you get to choose if you start in that experience or if you start on the normal starting zone for that character's race. So it's just there for it's just mandatory for your very first character, because it is essentially just, if you've ever played any game that had a tutorial level, it is literally just the tutorial level for World of Warcraft. And that's something I wanted to mention. That's something I think they've been working on it for a while. It's in a pretty good place now. It is, to my mind, one of the most interesting things about the beta, so I wanted to bring it up. Now for you, Joe, what is just anything you want to talk about?
I mean, there's so much. I've been absolutely going bonkers with just like trying to like see what's going on and figure things out. There are a couple things that are very beta-y that I'm not going to complain about because, well, it's a beta and they're going to fix some of these things well before that ever happens. But the one thing that I don't, there's one thing I don't like right now, and that's when you're in Orboros and you go to another zone, you fly there, and there's like this slipstreamy effect. They need to tone that down. The only reason I say that is because I have discovered, thanks to Nyalatha, that I am somewhat photosensitive. Not enough to cause like a seizure or anything like that, but certain color combinations with flashing lights will actually cause me to have an instant migraine. And I got around that in Nyalatha by going into colorblind mode, one of the specific colorblind modes, which sort of alleviated the color flash. I can't do that in the beta right now, so I can't imagine I'd be the only one that would be affected by it. So I'm kind of hoping they pay attention to it. It's a really cool effect, and it's this interesting thing where you are like literally shunting between zones. It reminds me a lot of like the old, it's gonna sound goofy, but like the old TV show Sliders, when they used to go between like different realities. It feels a lot like that. It's just way more flashy. So hopefully they'll take care of that. I don't know, like there's not one specific thing that I like so far. I will say that it feels good as far as like shaman go, which is something that excites me. Not because I'm biased, but one of the things that I've been saying is in Battle for Azeroth as an elemental shaman, I felt very, very weak and I didn't level as elemental. I didn't level as enhancement. I actually wound up leveling as restoration because I kept freaking dying all the time. I don't feel like that. I feel I have options now, and I really like how your covenant abilities play into sort of that survivability. Like, Ardenweald's Fae Transfusion is absolutely massive. Like, I am in love with it as far as, like, it's an AoE damage ability. Oh, and it can heal you. Like, stuff like that. Like, there's these cool balancing things that they're doing right now. I haven't felt overwhelmed yet. And I think that's one of the most important feelings, because in Legion and in Battle for Azeroth, as a shaman, there were several points where I felt incredibly overwhelmed very early on. So yeah, the one thing that I really enjoy right now is that everything, it doesn't feel like I'm hitting a point of being overwhelmed. Like, so far, I've made a character in each of the zones. I've gone through all of the experiences for them at this point with individual characters, because traveling between zones is broken, apparently, unless you start from scratch. Don't know. But I have not hit a point where I feel weak. And that's really important, because during Battle for Azeroth and during Legion, that point of feeling weak came so quickly that it made certain parts, like I had to beg somebody to come along with me or try to do it as resto, and it took forever because I was dying all the time. But with the covenant abilities, with everything that they're putting in, it feels good. It feels balanced so far. Now, that could change. I don't know. Obviously, this is beta, but as of right now, at least for Shaman, I don't feel outclassed. The other thing I'm really enjoying is that each of the zones that you go to have a really cohesive story. And
yeah, that much I can attest to as well. Without trying to go into too many story spoilers, a lot of stuff is revealed as you level through them, and then mm-hmm. there's more stuff when you go back at like max level, which helps feel fleshed out. And you will, because there's faction gating at the end at level 60, you will not get to experience every zone's higher level content. You will basically have to pick one.
Yeah.
And that one will be the one that's linked to your covenant. So in a way, there's more reward to playing alts, because you'll need to play at least four alts to get to see all the factional stories, the covenant stories. But beware of that. But they are good stories, I think, at least so far what I've seen of them. The one that I think both Joe and I have done is Ardenweald.
Oh, I love Ardenweald. Ardenweald is my happy spot right now. Not because it's a happy story, but it's everything that I wanted it to be. Like, I was, if you follow me on Twitter, you may have seen me gushing about it and trying not to spoiler and just shove screenshots everywhere. But I love it. I love that the story, how it's presented and everything else. And I am absolutely wondering how many people are going to be thirsty for fawns, because I think that's going to be a thing that happens.
I mean, come on, it's World of Warcraft. The second a new race is introduced, people are thirsty.
Oh, absolutely.
I will also say, I'm going to use Ardenweald as an example. They've done a lot to make it so that if a zone is dark and gloomy and depressing and oppressive, it is on purpose. Mm-hmm. It is not just every zone looks the same. Bastion doesn't look anything like any other zone. Revendreth doesn't look anything like any other zone. Revendreth is the closest you're going to get to that Gothic archetype. If you're looking for...
And Gothic, not gloomy. Like that, there's a big distinction there.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of, I don't want to say vibrancy, but I can't think of what you'd call it. The opposite of vibrancy. There's a lot of zest to Revendreth.
It's got a very distinct personality, in the characters and the architecture and the zone layout and the things you encounter there. Like,
If you ever LARP in your life, Revendreth is a good zone for you, because it is basically like a zone full of people who are LARPing for real.
Yeah, they're basically playing Vampire the Masquerade.
Yeah, and they are very extra about it. They're not kidding. So yeah, there's that. This is still, I think I saw it. It might have been Taryn Gregory on Twitter saying something like, I'm excited for people finally getting to see this. Finally getting to see the amount of work we've put into it. And it is starting to feel that way.
Yeah.
It doesn't fully gel yet. There's a lot of connective tissue is not in place. But with the intro zone there, and with a lot of other zones there, and with the ability to play them and experience them, you finally get a sense of at least the opening of the story. And I think that's pretty great.
Yeah, and That's one of the things that I like about being in betas in general, especially with World of Warcraft, is over the years, you get to see how things sort of coalesce. And I think over the last two expansions and now this one, you can really see how they've, I don't want to say perfected the formula, but you can see that they have their rhythm for it. And so like everything right now, I liken it to a lot when I paint. So I'll block in basic colors where I know what shades and hues I'm going to work in different areas on a model. And then I'll worry about tying everything together as I go along and adding the different highlights and making everything cohesive. And that's kind of what it feels like to me. It's like all the paint's on the canvas, and you can look at the individual pieces and see where they are in their stages of progress. And now it's all about finishing those off, polishing those pieces off, and then tying them together. And it's, you're seeing the genesis of this, and it's really nifty to be a part of that and experience it.
So yeah, one other thing I'm going to mention really fast, and then I think we can move on to doing some emails. We got a few emails, and some of them are pretty big this week, so we'll see what we get there. But one of the things I, as a warrior player, I feel like warriors are still undertuned. I'll straight up say it. Maybe it's because the gear they have me in is not that great. Whatever it is, I am not super happy with how Fury plays. Not the actual play style of it, but the fact that it feels a lot of times like I'm getting my just housed by stuff that really should not be housing me. Whereas Arms feels a little stronger, and Prot, I've been leveling in Prot. It's just much easier. And I don't like it when Prot feels like just the absolute go-to for leveling. I feel like you should be able to level on anything you want, and Prot should be something that you, if you want to level in it, sure. I mean, if you like it. But if you don't, but you know you're going to tank eventually, then Prot can be saved there for when you do that. Although, honestly, for dungeon tanking, I find myself wondering if I will tank as Arms or Fury this expansion. For just five mans and stuff. Not for dedicated raid progression, but with stuff having changed enough, the various moves that you'd use when tanking, like shield slam, shield block, ignore pain, those are baseline warrior abilities. Everybody has them. You can use ignore pain without a shield even.
Yeah, you know what? I was thinking about that. Sorry, go finish your thought, but when you're done, I want to go into a different tangential topic.
Ignore pains is basically now, if you are filling a Fury Warrior, it's basically just an snap ability. Like if you're getting killed and you need some breathing room, you will hit ignore pain because it will absorb damage for you, and that gives you time to like possibly pop in rage regeneration, get yourself healed back up to full. It's another little snap button, and it's very nice for that. But you could use it. You could basically just put a shield on and tank as a Fury Warrior with a two-handed weapon in your main hand and a shield in your offhand. You could absolutely do that. Will you be as effective a tank? No.
You
will not, but you could do it. And if you're good enough, you'd be good enough for stuff like five-player content, where it is not as important to be fully progression-minded and squeezing out every benefit. I think at this point I'll let you go on your tangent.
Yeah, so I got a very distinct feeling when running dungeons in the beta, because that's what I'm trying to do to get an idea of how everything feels healing-wise, because that's sort of my thing. But one thing it reminded me of is, anybody who's been around for the podcast probably remembers the story that I used to tell of way back in the day with original Karazhan, where as a restoration shaman with the old talent tree, me and a boomkin used to be the main tanks for Karazhan. And we could do that because we were very good at our roles, we knew what to do, and we would do a server-wide Karazhan thing where we would go in as the tanks, we would pick people up for healing and DPS, and just go. This feels like you can start doing stuff like that again, which we haven't been able to do, in my opinion, since they switched to the more stripped down talent trees. And I haven't felt that excited about that in a very long time, because I just didn't think it was ever going to be possible again. But what you're talking about with feeling like you can tank in Fury or Arms also feels like I could off-heal as Elemental. There's enough tools that I have at my disposal between Totem Mastery, the totems that I have, the individual access to the healing spells that I now have, because Chain Heal is now base across everything.
It's really the base across everything re-edition.
Yeah!
They've put in a bunch of stuff that they used to be like, it used to be something that every warrior would have, or every shaman would have, or whatever your class was. There were certain abilities that were just baseline, and they made them class spec specific. And now they're kind of making them baseline again, or adding baseline stuff on. And that's helpful.
It is.
To be fair, in order for Shaman to tank back in the day, because I did it, I tanked Karazhan.
You had to dip into enhancement a little bit.
No, although that's true. But no. What I was going to say was, you had to get PvP gear.
Oh, I didn't do it in PvP gear.
In order to like main tank it as the only tank, which I did. I main tanked Karazhan as the only tank.
You needed the damage reduction.
Yeah, and you couldn't get it because they didn't have any defense gear.
Resilience or whatever it was.
But resilience did the crit reduction. And yes, this had nothing to do with Shadowlands, but if you thought I was going to miss a chance to brag about how I main tanked Karazhan as a shaman, you're out of your damn minds. Of course I'm going to talk about that.
See, and I went the different route. I went the way that most bears went, and I maxed evasion, essentially.
Yeah. I didn't do that because I went enhance. I was a full enhanced shaman doing this because my resto spec, I did not tank with it. My resto spec was dedicated entirely to downrank chain heal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that there's a lot of stuff that's gone from the game that I don't miss. And one of them that I don't miss is the idea of having to use all your various downranks. Like, you know, you had a fully leveled up chain heal, like rank 7, but you didn't use rank 7 all the time. Sometimes you just spammed rank 3 because it's the mana cost was so much less that, yes, it didn't heal for much, but you could just do it forever and you'd never run out of mana. So as a shaman, that was your go-to because instead of healing one guy for a lot, you'd heal everybody for a little. And it was really fun in a way, but at the same time, it meant that you had to have like 6 different ranks of chain heal that you actually used. I had chain heal on 5 buttons.
Yep. It's like that old joke about frost shock for shaman being on every button because at one point in time, that was what like elemental shaman just had on their keys. Yeah, yeah. It was like that for downrank chain heal, absolutely.
So,
but not to stray too far away from it.
let's get back to your thing because that is something I hope that they embrace. I hope that they've put it in, they've made it so that there are things that are now across the entire class. I really feel like it's the kind of thing they should embrace.
Well, and here's why, and then I'll move on from this and we can do whatever else we want to talk about, but one of the things that I loved feeling in a heroic game is the idea that you could save a group from a wipe by stepping into another role long enough to recover. And that's something we haven't had in a very long time. And now adding all of these baseline abilities back into the game, you're basically giving players that option. So if the healer dies and you have somebody who has a healing spec or healing spells base class, they could in theory keep the tank up long enough to, especially in a 5-man, for somebody to pick up that healer, or for you to recover from it and not have a catastrophic failure, or on a boss where you're like really, really low and the tank dies, somebody else can run in, taunt, and keep that thing from killing the healer and the DPS long enough to finish the boss. It gives you that heroic feeling again. You feel like this all-powerful, you know, bad MF-er, like you're supposed to. And we haven't had that in so long. And I've seen it happen in the 5-mans that we're in right now in the beta, where I've died because I didn't know a mechanic yet and I didn't see the effect. And I have watched, you know, the Elemental Shaman or the Boomkin off heal long enough for me to get myself back up and get back into the game. Or I've had a tank die where I've had a warrior, literally, like you're saying, like an arms warrior, rush in, taunt long enough to keep the thing off of me so that we could get the main tank back up. And it feels good. I really hope they embrace this. I really hope this is something that stays around, because I like that feeling of essentially heroic intervention. You can be the bulwark that saves the wipe.
Yeah, it is something. I mean, that is absolutely something that was doable. I used to have a macro for it, even. I had a macro that you hit the button, it would pop you to D-stance, pop your shield on, pop taunt off, and then that would you just hit shield wall and try to keep the boss from killing you long enough to get the tank up. We did that on our first Nefarian kill. I think I did it, and then when I died, another warrior did it.
Yep.
So we could get the tank up. And that worked, and that was our first Nefarian kill. I spent the last 5 minutes of it on the ground, and I felt like I did a good thing. I was actually happy to die, because it meant we succeeded.
Yeah, you feel like you can have a meaningful death, for whatever that, take that as you will. But
it is a video game, but yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that that's something, maybe not, I don't think that's going to be the Shadowlands isn't going to go too far, because they never do. They never go super far. And keep in mind that, you know, expansions, this is the time for the most game changes they can do.
Yeah.
But they still have to try and preserve as much
balance
as they can. Not just balance, but the game has to still feel like the same game between expansions.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there's a limit to what they're going to change. But they're changing a lot here. I mean, between the changing in terms of levels and the level squish and the item squish that's going to roll around with it, trust me, the gear is definitely feeling it. Between all that, between the fact that they have to rejigger how talents work, A lot of new talents are coming in. The talents are in different places. Like, you get them at different levels because you have to fit it all into levels 1 through 50. And you don't have... There's no levels between 50 and 60. You are going to get all your talents by level 50. So that's another thing that you have to keep in mind and be ready for. I am cautiously happy about Shadowlands in terms of how it plays.
Yeah, like that is a really good way to phrase it. And I was trying to think of a way to cautiously optimistic isn't right. I'm very happy and I want I agree with your statement. I think it is better than cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, I mean, there's a level of, it feels like they've got enough. There's no, one of the things that really bugs me about Battle for Azeroth that has bugged me the entire expansion is the amount of systems that they put in knowing that they wouldn't extend them. And then they didn't integrate these systems very well. I'm going to use the two that really get to me. Azerite and Corruption.
Yep. Yep.
I'm not a disliking Corruption person. I don't think it's a bad concept.
I feel it didn't deliver on what it wanted to do. It didn't deliver the way it originally said it was going to.
I don't even know if I feel that about it. I just feel like it's not integrated. You hit 8.2 and suddenly here's Corruption. And I understand why you don't have it whole expansion, because you're not having Old Gods all expansion. I get that. You know, they don't... Oh, I got disconnected from the game. That's bad. Yeah, okay, guys. Sorry about this. I'm going to try to reconnect as soon as possible. That's really annoying. Hopefully we don't lose the stream. Waiting for the game to reconnect. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, there you go. Yep. There's my character. So my mouse lets me. Boom. Back in the world, hopefully. That was annoying. I really apologize, guys.
And for the comment, Sage, I don't know if I necessarily agree with the fact that it's worse because they let you buy it now. I think it's better because you can buy it now, because it's letting players at least have some form of fun with the actual mechanic until it's gone, which is one of the things, like, Corruption can be fun. Like, there's these moments where you can run into, like, a horrific vision, and if you have Twilight Devastation stacked out the wazoo, you kill both of Thrall's boar pets immediately, and then you're just like a sack of HP to, like, this really nifty effect, and some people like that. I think the purchasing of it allows players who want to experience it in a way that they want to, and that's not a bad thing. I just think that Corruption in general, before this point, it felt very much like if you didn't get exactly the right thing, you were completely ineffectual in your role. And that's the thing that bothered me about it.
Plus, the other problem I have with Corruption, when I said it wasn't integrated, Corruption is not very great if you're a healer.
No, I was literally just complaining about this with my guild today, right before the podcast. There are, like, two, maybe three Corruptions, and there are, you, like, one of them is item specific. You have to get the axe from the boss that looks incredibly phallic. Destragath, I can't remember his name. But, like, if that's really the only weapon effect that's good for healers, because it just increases your intellect. That's its effect. It increases your intellect by a raw number. And, like, if other ones, it's if you need crit or you need mastery, but everything else is all DPS focused. It feels like I'm left behind.
Yeah, all the procs are DPS procs. One of them is one of the procs from the axe that drops off of the Moam lookalike. That's a decent tanking one for Death Knights, and it's not really good for anybody else. Like, it's okay. It does area effect damage. It's based on your armor. It's like, okay, that's kind of weird. But it's decent. It's not the best one for Blood Death Knights either, so if you're a Blood Death Knight tank about to say, that one's not even that great for us, you are correct. It isn't. But most of them, the rest of them are DPS-focused, which it doesn't hurt you as a tank because it's threat. But it's not, you know, it doesn't feel like, ooh, this will help me stay alive. Because they won't. That's nothing about Corruption is going to help you stay alive. And I even get that from the concept of what you want corruption to do. But I felt from the beginning when they first introduced corruption, it suffered from being introduced so late, from players not really getting much time with it.
Yeah.
And it never felt properly tested. And neither did Azerite.
I was going to say, Azerite was in that definite same camp, right? Like, it was one of those things where we talked about this last week, and I think the week before, where it was introduced late into the beta cycle, and because it was introduced so late in the beta cycle, there really wasn't enough time for players to get their hands on it and really give good feedback. Whereas, to swing this back to Shadowlands, now with like the Covenant abilities and your Soulbind and how they're doing the conduit testing and everything like that, they're doing it early. They started doing it in Alpha, essentially.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. And now there's enough time because this is going to be your expansion-wide mechanic. They're learned from their mistake. At least I hope this is why they did it so early, so they can get that feedback and actually start, you know, making changes and balancing it based off of that, so that it doesn't feel like Azerite and it doesn't feel like corruption, because those are very divisive mechanics. And I think, and I could be wrong, Soulbinding and that entire mechanic, I think, is going to be mostly enjoyed by the player base. I'm not going to say everybody's going to love it, because there's always going to be somebody that just hates everything, but it feels, because of the customizability, the player input into it, it feels so much better than those other mechanics.
I wish I had a camera pointed at my face right now, so y'all would see me doing my I feel seen face. Yeah, I will say that I do think that Shadowlands is going the right way in terms of how it is going about testing, and that is something that makes me happy. But at this point, since any further talk would probably start revealing all sorts of story spoilers, I'm going to say, instead of doing that, we're going to move on to some questions. We've got some emails and a question from... Actually, the question was from the Lore Watch this weekend, because Joe got grabby hands and grabbed a non-lore question.
I was trying so hard to grab him before Matt did that I lost it. I'm sorry.
He practically Sheldoned me. It was like a Big Bang Theory moment. So yeah, there you go. That's my pop culture reference of the day. Yeah, about a show nobody liked. So yeah, if you've got questions for the podcast, you can either go to our Discord and go to the Q Patron, and isn't it like Patron Q and Podcast Questions channel?
It is.
Yes, it is. I got it right eventually. Or there's just the Q channel. That's not for patrons. You can just go and ask. You can ask questions in that channel, and we look at them here too as well. But you can do that. You can go to Discord and do that. Or you can email us at podcast@blizzardwatch.com, the subject line podcast or Blizzard Watch, so we know it's for this show. Joe's going to read them for us, because if you were watching the free show, you heard that whole bit about how I can't see anymore. So that's why Joe reads them for us. And if you don't mind doing that for us, Joe.
Not at all. So this question does come from our friend Tetsemi. Question for the Blizzard Watch podcast. Premise: Cataclysm revamp is leveling 2.0. Level Squish is leveling 3.0. What about leveling 4.0? What's missing from the leveling process? I would posit that it's a story through line to tie everything together. Let's have Chromie create a leveling train with a tracker, much like the Legion BFA quest tracker in the upper right of the quest journal. You can hop off the Chromie train to explore any expansion as much as you want, but the Chromie train will be there to keep you on track. You'd have a Chromie ticket to ride that would act as a Hearthstone to get you back to Chromie, as well as your regular Hearthstone. Interesting concept.
I mean, I can see an appeal to it, because I do think that one of the things that is lacking is the sense of, you know, a coherent, cohesive World of Warcraft story. I don't know how feasible it really is ever going to be to get you that. I know that. I think if you go to the various zones, I think Chromie is actually involved, or the Bronze Dragonflight is. I can't remember, because I haven't really done much exploring of that as yet. Also, I have bad hiccups, so I'm sorry that I'm talking weird, guys. But I do think that there's certainly some potential here. The idea of having there be a you know, for lack of a better word, Chromie shows up like Doc Brown and goes, "Adventurer, it's your kids!" Except not that, because, you know, it's not your kids. But then he takes you back in time and shows you, you know, this is the story of World of Warcraft. This is, and as you do, if you're doing a particular expansion, then you get, you know, this is that story. I think there could be something to that. I don't know that they've gone through a lot of trouble right now to give you a 1 to 10 leveling experience, and to set up that you can go 10 to 50 in any zone, like any expansion. I don't think they're going to make also you can go hang out with a dragon who then pops you around through all the various places of World of Warcraft, so you get a sense of the story. I don't know that that's a level of development they're going to dedicate to that. Do you know what I mean? That's basically making another expansion.
Yeah.
It's just an expansion made out of all the other expansions.
I think the core of the idea, though, is that, like, and we've had questions like this before, and we've gotten this on Lore Watch a bunch. It's the idea of losing the story of the game, because you're essentially, you're going 1 to 10 if you're a brand new character through Exile's Reach, and you're going into whatever content to you know, up through right before BFA, then through BFA, and then in the Shadowlands. But if you're doing, let's say, Mists of Pandaria, you miss some of those other things. And a lot of people have been talking about, like, you know, and Starhammer in chat's bringing this up as well, Caverns of Time. There's something there where they could do that. But I'm going to throw something different out here, because I've been thinking about this. What if instead we go back to a mechanic that was introduced in Mists of Pandaria and maybe combine it with some story elements for, you know, tying in Chromie or the Bronze Dragonflight? We have Lore Walkers. We have Lore Walkers who literally, when they tell a story, a play unfolds in front of you. You get to see the events. And maybe instead of doing an entire, you know, expansion's worth of story, you have like a Lore Walker or a conclave of Lore Walkers. I can think of three in particular that would make really good options for that. That tell you the story of Azeroth so far. And at any point in time, you get to say, hey, Chromie, I want to go do this. I want to relive this experience. And that's your introduction to those, you know, releveling through mists or releveling through whatever. It would be, to me, a cool way to revisit something that they haven't really done since. And I really, really loved that in Mists of Pandaria, where you got to be told a story, but have the story physically come to life in front of you. Like, they could do something like that to give players an option to sit down and maybe have a condensed version of it. And they do something like this, and this is slight spoilery, so I'm sorry. In Ardenweald, if you choose it as your covenant at 60, where you tell your story in the form of a play, and we've talked about this before, but it doesn't feel quite the same because not everybody's going to get to experience it. So maybe taking that idea, which they've done now, they physically have done this, tailoring it a little bit to be more wider than just one covenant, and letting players have a thing where they can experience the story of the world, I'd be all for that, because that's something, again, I get asked at about a lot of how the story is going to feel with the whole new leveling thing. So
yeah, I think that's pretty much, I mean, I don't know that that's the way to go with it, but it's certainly an approach, and it would certainly work. I mean, you could do that. You could do lots of different things. The point is that in order to do it, you need to commit to something.
Yeah.
And I think that that would be something. It's worth considering, well, okay, what are we going to commit to? How are we going to get this to work? But at present, it doesn't work because there's nothing for it. So yeah, I definitely think there is some, this is an idea. I don't know how exactly it should be implemented, but something should be implemented.
I agree. All right, we are going to move on. This one comes from Anonymous. Dearest Watchers, out of curiosity, how are you determining your covenant of choice for when Shadowlands arrives? I feel like watching beta information drop from the outside. I'm going every which way before I even get to experience the story itself. I mean, my main was totally in for Ardenweald for the character backstory reasons, but then I saw that one of Theotar's Soulbind abilities is that he covers the cost of your transmog, and suddenly I was torn. But in all seriousness, how many characters are you taking into Shadowlands, and how are you deciding where they end up? Are you mainly looking for the special abilities, covenant story as it pertains to your characters, aesthetic, or something else? Just curious.
All right, I'll go first, I guess. My Night Elf is my first character, 260, and she is going to do Ardenweald, because it is the continuation of the Night Warrior story and the continuation of the Night Elf story, really. So I'm going to do that one first. My Dwarf Paladin is going to do Bastion, because she is a Dwarf Paladin. So Bastion feels like a good choice for her. I am not, by the way, I am not looking at all at the Soulbinds and what they can do. I am just straight up making, these are all story choices. My Death Knight's going to Maldraxxus because she's a Death Knight, and it makes sense. As for Revendreth, that's where my poor Lightforged Warrior is going to end up, because at this point, he's the fourth guy, and I don't have anything better for him. So he's going to Revendreth. Revendreth is the one that a lot of my friends are super excited about. It is the one they all love the most. It is the one I care the least about.
Yeah.
I mean, the only reason I would even care about it is the chance to see a certain character. Other than him, in terms of the Maldraxxus story, has like three characters I want to see in it. Ardenwald has got at least one really big character I want to see. There's not as much for me in Revendreth, but that's just a personal taste choice. There's a lot of cool reasons to go to Revendreth if that's what you want to do. I certainly don't think it's a bad choice. I don't feel like any choices I'm making here are personal. They're based on my characters and what I think they would do. So.
Yeah, so mine is going to be a little bit different, I guess, not because of me making predecisions, because I don't think there is a wrong way to choose your covenant. But for me personally, I have a running story for all of the characters that I play a lot. And this is just who I am. I've always been this person ever since I was a kid, where when I was playing D&D, I would hand you a 30-page backstory if you asked me for it, because that's just how my brain works. And when I started playing World of Warcraft, it was the exact same thing. I have a series of fan fiction about my own character, RPing his way through all of the expansions over the years, that exists on the internet. And you can find it. I'm not going to tell you where, but if you find it, good luck. But it's one of those things where each character to me has a very distinct feel, has a very distinct motivation, and it's playing through that story and seeing what everybody is all these factions are doing, what they're about, what their plights are, what their main integrations are, and how they interact with everything, that determines where I'm going to put them. So, like, my main character, Loder, who has been my character for 16 plus years at this point, he's going to Ardenwald. It aligns with his character viewpoints the most out of everything. There are other ones that will probably wind up elsewhere, but I haven't made that determination yet, because it's going to be that particular character and sort of how they feel about that story, how they feel about those factions, those covenants, after they're done interacting with everything. So for me personally, I don't care about the abilities. I will make whatever work with whatever. I've never been a pure, you know, it has to be mechanically driven type person. I will find something fun no matter where I am. I will find something useful no matter where I am. But for me, it's all about whether or not that covenant story makes sense to that character in their established fiction that I have for them for the last, you know, decade. So, yeah. Again, no wrong way to choose it. That's just how I do it. All right. Our next one comes from Perilous, who is a Death Knight. Greetings, fellow prisoners. As the Battle of Azeroth winds down, I had a thought the other day as the issue of Azerite weapons being used on Tel'Drassil was discussed. The thought? Have they really wrapped up the Azerite issue as it has stood all through this expansion? I haven't come across anything in-game yet to suggest that the wounds of our world have been staunched. Azerite still seeps to the surface, and our planet is still impaled by a titanic, sword. We're about to disappear into the Shadowlands, but what about Azeroth's continuing outpouring of her lifeblood? Has this issue been addressed, and I just missed it somewhere? Thanks for all you do. No, they haven't addressed it at all. Like, I haven't seen anything to address it.
They shot a big laser at a giant monster. Everything's fine now. It's like, imagine if, you know, this is what happens. Imagine, you know, you're like, you get stabbed by someone, and you're, as you're laying there bleeding and hurt, someone comes over to you and starts trying to steal your stuff. Somebody comes over from behind that person, clubs him over the head, stopping him from stealing your stuff, and goes, "Well, you're good. I'll see you later." That fixes everything. Your stab wound just immediately heals, and you're fine. You stop bleeding, you get up, you're fine.
Well, that's what we were doing. We were originating N'Zoth into old guy Band-Aids, right? That was the whole purpose, wasn't it?
No. It just gets fixed immediately because it gets fixed immediately. Don't think any more about this. Now, less sarcastically, everything you said is true, and I don't have an answer for you. If they're going to do something pre-expansion to possibly at least give us an idea of what's going on, that would be great. But as of right now, whilst I'm not one of those people who got really mad, a lot of people got really mad over the end of Battle for Azeroth. I'm not one of them. I liked that cinematic. I thought it worked pretty well. But I really wish that Magni had said, now that the old god's gone, we can, you know, finally focus on healing Azeroth's wounds. It'll be a long, slow process, but as long as you do this terrible fake accent, we'll save Azeroth. You know, just something.
My inner dwarf just died a little, Rossi. Thank you.
Well, you're lucky I didn't start going into my fake Russian accent, which happened when I tried fake Scottish. Very often I just drift into fake Russian. And it's like, what happened? Like, apparently Hunt for Red October had serious effects on me, and they were long-lasting. But no, seriously, no idea. Maybe that'll, in fact, be part of the story of Shadowlands. You know, while we're over there, maybe Azeroth itself is dying, and so we have to fix things before Azeroth gets there. I don't know.
I think there's a lot of parallels, too, and I think that there is a distinct reason why that story hasn't been tidied up yet. And I think it has to do with the fact that we are starting to learn about life energy in Shadowlands in a completely different category, a completely different league than our characters have ever, ever considered. Like, if you think about it, when we're healing the world, as far as, like, the Azerite wounds go, we're doing it through conventional methods. We're sending druids to go heal the wounds. We're sending shamans to go heal the wounds. Priests are channeling light. Paladins are channeling light. Like, they're trying to heal the world as if it is a conventional process. And what we've seen throughout the entirety of Battle for Azeroth is that don't work. You don't heal a wound that way. You can't heal a wound that way. It doesn't work. It's not like repairing the wounds to the traveling turtle. It's not the same thing, because this is a being that does not exactly adhere to the same principles that we do. It's not exactly the same. So as we're moving through Shadowlands, we're starting to learn more about Anima. We're starting to learn about how that affects the regeneration process. I won't spoil anything here, but you interact with beings that make you think about it a little bit differently than you conventionally would. Healing and rebirth doesn't necessarily take a conventional method. You can't just throw chain heal at it until the wounds are sealed. Only if it's rank 4, though. Keep that in mind. Like, and I think that is going to be something that we come back to finish up with, or that we talk about.
I feel seen, camera.
But I think it's going to play into that. I think the story of Shadowlands will loop back to this particular plot point that hasn't been sealed up, because I think what we learn about Anima will directly affect how we heal a wounded Titan. That's just my opinion. I've seen nothing that indicates that that's the way it's going to go. But it just seems too convenient to me that what we're learning about, what we're dealing with, the Anima Drought, the Maw, how souls are sort of prepping and preparing. We're literally talking about healing a soul. That's what Azeroth is. It is a Titan soul. So yeah, I think that we won't get there yet. I think during Shadowlands, we will get the termination of that particular plot point. It'll be like something that Magni comes and does his, I would ask Rossi to do the accent again, but I don't want to die laughing. He'll tell us that, hey, what you discovered here can be applied here, and then we'll go and do it and then move on to the next chapter. That's my thoughts. All right. Anything else to add? Do you want me to move on to the next one?
Oh, go ahead. No, alrighty.
I love it. I love it so much. Hello, fellow narrative enthusiasts. Just leveling through Nazmir here, getting my final class to 120, and was wondering about the player's, relationship with Ol Bom Somdi. He asks for 1 million souls in return for his aid, reassuring us that we are more than capable of paying it. When we go outside to Atina, the blood troll interrupts the binding ritual. The quest ends with Bom Somdi saying, I realize the ritual was incomplete, but considering the circumstance, we can skip the formalities. You have my aid if you be willing to pay the price. So, as a legal scholar for Alola, can you weigh in? Is the promise of 1 million souls to Bwamsamdi enforceable? Better yet, when we go to the Shadowlands, will we find ourselves in the position to pay Bwamsamdi 1 million souls in one lump sum? Thanks, guys. Archie, the insert any race, insert any class from the Cenarian Circle Sisters of Alun servers.
Well, laddie, the thing you've got to remember about Bwamsamdi is I'm going to make Joe pee himself.
It's so bad. I love it. Okay.
It's possibly the worst Scottish accent you will ever hear. The thing about Bwamsamdi is he is very deeply involved in specific stories, so I don't want to go into too much detail here. But he is... I don't know if enforceable is not the right word when dealing with Alola.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that he can enforce it. Like, once you've made the binding, like, for instance, when he makes the deal with Rastakhan, yeah, then he can enforce it. But in a lot of cases, you're free to not do the thing you said you'd do, and then he won't give you the thing you want. Like, that's how it works. This is a quid pro quo. It's actually very goblin-y in a way. Where you do this thing for me, and then our pact works out for you. I don't know. Again, Joe, have you actually gotten a chance to see like this part yet?
Yeah.
Okay, so do you want to talk about it?
Like, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I'm trying to get you to do it because I'm not sure I can do it without spoiling anything.
I don't know if I could either.
See, that's the problem. I'm going to say this. Pay attention to what happens with Bwamsamdi.
Yeah, so the Bwamsamdi thing, you're not really beholden to anything, because unless you are, like, linked to him in any capacity, you're not really going to suffer any ill effects. Yeah, he might be able to make your life a little bit more difficult, or maybe pull some tricks on you, but at the end of the day, like, you're not tied to him in the same way that, like, Rastakhan and his bloodline is. He can't, you know, make you sick, he can't do that type of stuff. I mean, he might have the juice to do that, but who knows? And we pointed out in that questing, the binding thing never finished, right? We're not tied to him in that particular way that Rastakhan's bloodline is. So ultimately, that deal, maybe nothing will actually come of it. It also might be a case of how much, I hate to say it like this, but like our soul is worth compared to maybe NPC souls. And I phrase it like that because we were talking about this in the pre-show, but in like D&D and Descent into Avernus, there's a whole thing about like soul coins and like the weight of a soul and how much an individual soul's worth. Our spirit might be worth more. That might have been his goal all along, was not necessarily actually have a million souls, but to indebt our souls, our anima, our power to him in the same way that he tied himself to, the Rastakhan bloodline, that the same way that he is now in that position of prominence among Loa, how much power would that offer him? So I don't think he'll ever be able to truly, honestly collect on a million souls because he has no real way to leverage that. Although he does have other ways that he tries to get what he wants out of things. But yeah, because we're not tied to him, I don't think he really can do anything about it. I don't think there is any legal Loa basis for him to really pin us down with that. What do you think, Matt?
No, I think that's fair.
All right. I guess we can finish up there then. Thank you for the question. That is Archie. Yeah, it's a good one. I think we'll find out more though about Bwamsamdi's plans when we get a little bit further into Shadowlands, because don't forget, we do go to the other side and figure out what's going on there. So yeah, Matt, you want to take us home?
Well, usually you do the thing about...
Oh yeah, that whole thing where I actually do an a little bit of an outro. Sorry about that. It's been a weird day, folks. Blizzard Watch is made possible due to the generous contributions at patreon.com/blizzardwatch. Your continued support means this podcast site and community is able to thrive and grow. Blizzard Watch supporters enjoy exclusive benefits like early access to the podcast, a better chance at having your question answered on our podcast or the queue, and an ads-free site experience.
Thank you very much, Joe. And again, guys, if you have questions, you can either get to our Discord, to the Patreon Q and podcast channel, or the just ask the Q channel and you can ask questions there. We obviously look at the Patreon one first because that's the whole point of having a Patreon. Or you can email us at podcast@blizzardwatch.com with the subject line podcast or Blizzard Watch so we know it's for this show. Thank you guys so much for being here, especially for people who are here live who didn't get to hear the end of the show because my internet connection exploded. I'm very sorry about that. We did what we could to fix it, but it took a long time, so I'm very sorry. Thank you guys for being here, and we'll be here next week.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.